during the week, I heard a couple of things that got my spirit thinking. The first I heard on the news, someone was talking about the abortion issue, and the way they started it was, I don't care what God says about it, dot, dot, dot. And they went on with their opinion about abortion. They expressed their opinion. I also heard on a podcast this week, as I was listening to it, there was a guest who both of his parents were Jewish, but very early in the marriage, they both converted to Catholicism, heavily into Catholicism, and he was drugged to church every week. But as he got older, he was not comfortable with some of the things that he heard. Mostly, he said he was not comfortable with the idea of the original sin through Adam and Eve, because he thought, no, that's what they were teaching. He was a failure. He felt like he was a failure because of their sin. He says the church was teaching him that he failed because of their sin, Adam and Eve's sin. And he couldn't understand why he was being called a failure when he didn't do anything. So let me just first say that the sin of Adam and Eve does not make you a failure. It does mean that there's a problem, but not that you're a failure. So what are these couple of examples and things have in common? Their opinions and their feelings that these people had that don't line up with Adonai and his words and his desires for us. And I guess it started that thought process in me. The thought process said, what happens when we disagree with Adonai? Or just those things that we don't believe in the things that we read in Scripture. And the real question for people is not just for those who don't believe, but for believers as well. As people of flesh, there's going to be times and situations that we don't like what happens to us, and we don't like, maybe we disagree with what Adonai says through his spirit or through his words. Many of us have heard others say, I know what Scripture says, but. Have you ever heard people say that? I know what Scripture says, but. Because they don't agree with what Scripture says. I think this is a dangerous road to take, especially if you're on it for too long. Then what are we to do if we're not happy or we don't agree with what Adonai says and does? And the question is, you know, get past the do's and does. The question is, can we disagree with Scripture? And that's different than should we disagree with Scripture. As flesh, we can disagree with that which is used to show sin in our lives, the Torah. Because no one likes to be called out in their life, especially for sin. And that's what the word of the Lord does. That's why so many people kind of put down the Tanakh. Because what's the purpose of it? The purpose is to show us what sin is and how to get over it. So if that's the case, does that make Scripture bad or wrong or uncomfortable at times? Let me just say clearly that Scripture is never bad. Scripture is never wrong, but Scripture can make us uncomfortable at times. Since it does point to sin, it's going to make us uncomfortable. Just like if we break a leg, the cast that is put on can make us uncomfortable, but it's for our own good. It feels the body. Now, feelings of ours are personal. They come from the heart and mind, and each individual has their own feelings and opinions. And that is where the problem starts. If feelings come from the heart, then listen to what Scripture says about the heart. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and incurable. Who can know it? I, Adonai, search the heart. I try the mind, and every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. If the heart is deceitful, then what should we say about feelings that come out of the heart? The feelings are real, but they can also be deceptive. They're not always based on facts or truth, but what the heart perceives. This in no way is saying that you're to ignore your feelings, but to understand where your feelings come from when you try to manage them. This may sound easy, right? No, it really, really isn't. Managing feelings is not easy. Otherwise, we'd all be like Spock, feelingless and pointy ears. Well, Adonai does not want us to be feelingless or to have pointy ears. So, if our feelings can deceive us, they can also make us disagree with Adonai and want to struggle with him. And can you believe it? Adonai is okay with that. In fact, he addresses it in Isaiah. In the first chapter of Isaiah, starting in verse 18, "Come now, let us reason together," says Adonai. "Though your sins be like scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they will become like wool. If you are willing and obey, you will eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of Adonai has spoken." Adonai invites us to reason with him. The word used there for reason, according to Strong's, is chrach, which they define as to be right or correct, reciprocal to argue, causally to decide, justify or convict, rebuke, reprove, and etc., etc. The intent is to go back and forth to convince the other side and to correct them. I will say that we can go back and forth with Adonai, but I can also say with 100% certainty that we are not going to correct him. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't invite you into the conversation. That doesn't mean that he doesn't want to hear what you have to say. It doesn't mean that he doesn't care. He may not change, but by his words to you, you will be changed and comforted. So we can argue and disagree with Adonai, but there are certain things that we have to keep in mind when we do. Our conversation with and our arguing with Adonai is not the same as when we argue with other people. Although there are some lessons that we can learn about arguing with people, but that's not what I'm going to get into today. Today we'll be discussing the disagreeing or the arguing with Adonai. Feel free to disagree is what I named the message. Because Adonai says, feel free to disagree with me. Let's talk about it. Let's reason it out. as we disagree or argue, we need to look at why we're arguing with Adonai. Is the motivation rebellion or selfishness or to further our walk with him? We need to be brutally honest about what's going on around us and within us. We need to be honest about what you feel, but we also need to be honest about where it's coming from. Know that your feelings are your feelings and that you need to own them, but we also have to know where they're coming from. Why are we feeling what we're feeling? So the first, as we disagree with Adonai, we must know why we are. Why are we disagreeing? Make sure you aren't arguing from a position of rebellion, dismissal, or idolatry. Adonai can and will speak with you in a conversation about the reasons he's doing something, but will not stand for someone arguing from a place that is not a learning or moving forward with him. We need to understand if we are fighting to break away from him or because we're struggling to understand him and his actions. And for this, we need to enlist the help of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. We're told this in Psalm 139. Psalm 139, 23, starting there. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Examine me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any offensive way within me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We can search our own hearts and still not understand the cause of our feelings. But when we are helped by the Ruach, helped by the Spirit, and given permission to search into those dark corners of our hearts, then truths will be exposed by his light. If he exposes a hurt or a misunderstanding, he will help you through this by his counseling. But if it exposes rebellion, then we must partnership with him to get rid of it. Rebellion, idolizing, or just flat out dismissing him or his word will not be tolerated by the Ruach. It says this in Psalm 2. Why are the nations in an uproar, or the people's mutter? I can read that word. Take two. Why are the nations in an uproar, and the Peter mutter, and the peoples? Okay, I'm going to get one word wrong each time. Take three. Why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples mutter vanity? Thank you. Before I got it wrong. The kings of earth set themselves up and rulers conspire together against Adonai and against his anointed one. Let's rip their chains apart and throw their ropes off. He who sits in heaven laughs. The nations are not just arguing with Adonai, but rebelling against him and fighting him. This is not the way that we're to approach the King of Kings. He will not just laugh at us when we do this, but will throw down those who are like this in their hearts. As we disagree or argue with Adonai, we need to hear from him with his words that are not putting words into his mouth, or our thoughts being projected as his thoughts. We have to be careful. We know that when we hear something, there are three possible origins. The first that we could be hearing is the voice of Satan, trying to fool us, trying to get us away from Adonai. The second is our own voice saying just what we want to hear, having no spiritual basis at all. And the third is from Adonai himself, Now, sometimes Adonai and his voice will speak to you in a conversational way. And other times it'll be in Scripture. Here's what Yeshua tells us in John. John 14:25. These things I have spoken to you while dwelling with you. But the Helper, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of everything that I said to you. The Ruach will remind you what Adonai and his word says. Sometimes it'll be directly from Scripture and sometimes not. But regardless, it must line up with Scripture. Lost my spot. His word will never go against what was written in any of these scriptures. Doesn't matter where it is in Scripture, it's not going to contradict anything else he's ever said. His truth is the truth, regardless what words are used. There have been times that someone said to me that the Ruach has told them to go to a certain piece of Scripture, and it's just what they needed at that moment. There have been other times that people have told me they had a conversation with the Lord, and then it was verified through the Scripture. And that's okay too. That's wonderful. The point is, don't think that all that you hear is from him, but verify it's from him by verifying that it aligns with his words. Words that sound like yours can still be inspired by the Ruach, but you need to verify them that they line up with Scripture. These words should bring about the answer you need, not the answer you want. That's a difference. They must not contradict Scripture. As we argue with Adonai, we need to be able to accept correction at the times that we're wrong. There are times we argue with someone and it turns out you were saying the same things, but with different words. This may be the case with Adonai as well. But when it's not, and he shows you where you're wrong, you need to accept the correction that's indicated. This will keep us aligned with what Yeshua says in Matthew 5. Matthew 5:17. Do not think that I came to abolish Torah or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but fulfill. Amen, I tell you, until the heavens and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or serif shall ever pass away from the Torah until all things come to pass. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, this one shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Yeshua says, trust me. So we have to trust him. In all things, we have to be aligned with him. Wearing out the plumb line. He's the plumb line. He's the correct one. He's the one who's always true. That means that when we step off the path, he's created a path for each one of us. When we step off the path, we need to be able to accept that nudging or the correction to get us back onto the path. In the book of Job, Job at first doesn't understand why what happened happened. Then his friends try to give explanation, and with each one of these explanations, Job becomes more and more self-reliant and ended up saying, I did nothing wrong and I want to face Adonai face to face and I'm going to argue with him. What he did not understand is that Adonai understands. He knows. There's a reason. Adonai understands. There was a purpose for it all. And it didn't have anything to do with Job, really. Yes, and it was to show that Job is righteous, but it was to show that people can be righteous, even in times of trouble. Even when everything seems to be taken away. Even when everything's failing and feels like everything's just falling down upon me. It shows that Job and we can still stand up and worship Adonai. Job was to the point of arguing. But the purpose for it all was really had nothing to do with Job. It was to show Satan and to show the world who would read about it even this many years later and understand what true praise and worship is. Job was to the point of arguing, yes. And when Adonai told him he was wrong, Job took the lesson to heart, humbled himself, and corrected his heart. The book of Job is said to be one of the oldest books. In fact, not just one of the, it's said to be the oldest book in Scripture. Perhaps the baseline teaching that was taught to Job and to all of us, that Adonai is sovereign over all things and we need to trust and follow, is the reason it's the oldest book in Scripture. It's really kind of almost the first thing we need to learn. Like Job, even if we start out on the right path, we could very slowly start leaning and then walking off the path, and we need to be corrected. While we're off the path, we may even think, hey, Adonai, what are you doing over there when I'm over here? It's okay to ask Adonai questions. It's okay to press Adonai for answers, but we must be ready to correct our walk once we're told that we need to. As we disagree or argue with Adonai, we need to accept that he is Adonai. We need to accept that he's always right. He is Lord, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, above all things, always, always right, even when we don't understand it. We can argue with Adonai until we're blue in the face. But if he says we need to change, we need to change. Well, that'll mean that even when we're not convinced that we're wrong, we still need to humble ourselves and know that he knows what we don't know. The reason for something may not even be revealed until the end of time. But he knows what it is, and he knows why it is. There are times we just have to be humble enough to say, we are wrong, and Scripture's right. We are wrong, Adonai is right. Even when we don't understand it, it's right. That just means that we need to keep reading, we need to keep learning, we need to keep leaning on the knowledge that if it's right, wait. Wait until the Ruach reveals why it's right. Just know that it's true and that it applies to us. We know that the word says, the righteous shall live by faith. We read this in many places in the Brit Hadashah, in the New Covenant. Romans 1:17 and Galatians 3:11 and Hebrews 10:38. And again, Romans 3:22. But they're all quoting Habakkuk. Habakkuk 2:4. Behold, the puffed up one his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his trust. It's all over the Brit Hadashah. It's all over the new covenant. It came from the old covenant, from the Tanakh. Now notice, Habakkuk did not say, but the righteous will live by their understanding. The righteous will live by faith, by his trust. Even if we don't understand, but accept the word, it will be accredited to us as righteousness. We don't have to understand it in order to be holy and righteous. But we do have to accept the words of Adonai are true to be considered holy and righteous by him. Remember that God has the final word, and that no matter what counts in pursuing righteousness, joy, and peace is accepting his words. With the help of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, we can do that. This can help us to know when to drop a disagreement and move on. We have all been in a circular discussion with someone you disagree with, neither side willing to move. When you find yourself in one of these without an eye, you have to acknowledge who he is, what his motivation is, and that he will not change. So we have to change. This could and will most likely look like acceptance and not yet understanding. Or it could be relearning what we thought we knew, but since it doesn't line up with Scripture, we have to change our thinking even before we understand what Scripture is saying. I read a blog this week that started with, what if you don't agree with Adonai's opinion? Made me chuckle. What if I don't agree with Adonai's opinion? Why did I chuckle? Adonai doesn't have opinions. He only has facts. He only has truth. Adonai doesn't do opinions. People do opinions. Adonai does not do opinions. Everything that comes out of his mouth is truth and fact. What he says is, regardless what we think is right, what he says is right. If both Adonai and I look at a dress, and if you've seen these type of things on Facebook, if Adonai and I both look at a dress, and I think it's blue, and Adonai says it's green. It's green. What does that mean? I need to change the way I'm thinking right then to say that dress is green. Not only do I need to say that dress is green, but every time I see that color, it means it's green. I have to relearn what green is. That's what Scripture is about for us as well. Every time we see it, we have to understand it. But that's what it is. Now, feelings are not what we are to live by. And they should not be what we are led by. Instead, it is the knowledge of who Adonai is and what he does that must lead us into our actions. During the times that we may not feel his love, we must know his love for us never fails. Even when we fail, his love never fails. We walk in the knowledge of eternity spent with him if we accept his provision of the blood sacrifice, even though we can't see it and may not feel it right now. We continue with this life with joy. This is a little bit of what Jen was saying in Hindrash. We continue with this life with joy, even when we're not feeling joyful. Because there's a difference between happiness and joy. Our joy comes in the understanding of Scripture and what they mean to us. So when we read in Proverbs 3:5, trust in Adonai with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear Adonai and turn away from evil. It will be healing in your body and refreshment to your bones. Even when we're in a disagreement with Adonai, we are not to lean on what we think we know, but we acknowledge him and that he is always right. Because when we do this, then we will believe and live like Proverbs 28 says in Proverbs 28:26, whoever trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will escape. What is it that we're escaping? We're escaping one of a few things. One of them is the trap of living by our own feelings and our own opinions instead of the truth that he has for each and every one of us each and every day. In every one of his words, in every one of his scriptures, we escape building our lives on sand. Yeshua warned us of this in Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and yet it did not fall, for its foundations had been built on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act in them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Our trust in Adonai is just the top, the necessary, the only thing. Our trust in ourselves or our feelings is a building that was of our lives on sand. The building of trust, faith, and knowledge of Adonai is our building our lives on a solid bedrock. Feelings change with situations. Truths do not change when they're based on Adonai. We need to become discerning in being able to tell what is a feeling and what is the presence of the Ruach. Our lives will become solid when we live by faith. Our faith is solid rock if we have placed our faith in an unchanging, perfect, eternal, sovereign Adonai. God instructs us when we read his word and when we meditate on them and on him, this can cause feelings, right? When we read his word and we meditate, we get feelings, absolutely, because we're flesh. But we cannot allow our feelings to instruct us about who God is. Adonai is the one who is not against us, but is always for us when we're aligned with him. As you question or argue with him, do so with the conscious realization that he is God. He listens. He cares. And he loves you and desires to bless you. So feel free to disagree with Adonai. Feel free to argue with Adonai. But know why you're arguing with him. Feel free to argue with him, but hear from him when he speaks to you during the argument, during that discussion back and forth. Feel free to disagree with Adonai, but accept the correction when he corrects you. Feel free to argue with Adonai, but accept that he is Adonai and he is the one who's always going to be right. So don't let that argument go on for too long. He's always going to be right. But look, Lord, I see it as blue. Adonai says it's green, it's green. That's all that counts. That's what we have to remember. He knows. We just have to make sure we're listening and understanding correctly so that we can see what the difference is between blue and green. Father, we thank you that by your word and by your spirit, by your ruach, we get to know what it is that's true. We get to know that when we disagree, you will lovingly move us back onto your path so that we are aligned with you again. Ruach HaKodesh, we give you free access to our hearts and minds to keep us on that path. We thank you that you are loving and generous enough to allow us to disagree and allow us to argue, as long as it comes from the right place, not one of rebellion. Ruach, help us not to be rebellious, not to idolize other things, but to come to you, praise you, even in the times we don't understand what it is that you're doing for us. Father, we just thank you and praise you above all else. And everyone said, amen and amen.